When Kimberly and I first got married, we began looking for a church together in Des Moines, Iowa. We visited one particular church, and Kimberly and I went in. We sat down towards the front. We moved through the entire service, and we left, and absolutely no one spoke to us. We were sitting in the car, and Kimberly said that that was the least friendly church that she'd ever been to. I said, that can't be true. It must have been some mistake. I went back into the church and approached a group of men to introduce myself and to find out why no one was speaking to me. And as I extended my hand to say hello, the man said, the bathroom's behind me. And I said, I'm not looking for the bathroom. I just wanted to introduce myself. And he looked confused and quickly ran away. It really, really was. It really, really was. And run away is the wrong word. He moved away quickly. I mean, he didn't actually run. It really was the least friendly church that Kimberly and I had ever visited. We never did figure out what was wrong or why they apparently thought that we were Satanists or something. I don't know what happened. But they weren't obeying what we're going to be thinking about tonight. So if you have your Bibles with you, please open them to Romans chapter 12. If you don't have your own Bible, you can use the red Bible in front of you, and you'll find our passage on page 947. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read down from verse 9 to the end of the chapter. So Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, we're focusing especially tonight on the second part of verse 13. So Romans chapter 12, verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And what we're going to be thinking about tonight together is about how to show hospitality. Now, what the literal meaning of the Greek behind hospitality is to love strangers. It's to love people that you don't know as well as you know other people. One of the older English translations has harbor strangers. Bring strangers close to you. And so what this command is for us to be friendly to strangers. Now, my favorite motivation for hospitality is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So one of the advantages of being loving and kind to strangers is that you might get to hang out with Gabriel and not know about it. And this should be motivating part of your concern for taking care of other people. We don't know who people are or what role they have in God's kingdom, and we want to be taking care of people and loving them. Now, the responsibility of hospitality is a part of God's universal law, so we find it in both the New and the Old Testament. Thus, in Leviticus 19:34, you shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you. You shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So hospitality to strangers is not something that comes to us merely in the New Testament, but this is a part of God's moral law. We are to love and care for strangers. Now, our motive for loving strangers is the commands of God. It's the fact that God has a general love for all people, that all people are created in the image of God and therefore worthy of our love. And it's also because at one time we were all aliens to the community of God. So Paul commands in Ephesians 2:12, Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Part of the reason that each and every one of us here is saved is because someone came and loved us and presented the gospel to us, even when we were yet strangers. And so we need to love strangers as they come into the church. All of us at one time were strangers. We were all outside of the church. And if every person who walks into our building is a Christian, we don't know him or her, and we don't know where he or she is in their walk with Christ, and we want to love them. Now, strangers are hard to love for various reasons. They are hard to love because they might be threatening. There are different kinds of threats. There's physical and emotional and spiritual threats. And when a stranger comes among us, we can be intimidated because we don't know if they're going to intentionally or unintentionally going to harm us. And this makes it sometimes difficult to love people that we don't know. I was once visiting a church, and one of the things that they made us do is that everyone had to stand up, turn to the person next to them, hold their hands, look them in the eye, and sing, "I love you with the love of the Lord." I don't think that was actually hospitality. But I had gone with a youth group. I was with a standing next to the guy to my right was 6'4". He was wearing a black leather jacket in the summer and a studded dog collar. And I want you to know that a little 5'4" grandma with blue hair held his hands trembling and looked into his eyes and said, "I love you with the love of the Lord." And that's wonderful. We're never going to do that at Andover Baptist Church. I'm never going to make you hold each other's hands and look into strangers' eyes and tell them that you love them with the love of the Lord. But it is a beautiful illustration of what we're supposed to be doing. We really are supposed to be loving people who scare us. And when they come to the church, we want to make sure that they know that we trust in God so much that we can take risk in caring for them. Our Lord Jesus tells us that you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. God has promised us that if we take risk caring for people, that he is going to protect us. Church visitors can harm us, but they can't hurt us, because God will get us home. By the way, I want you to know the vast majority of church visitors are really sweet people, and you don't have to worry about it. We just need to love them. We can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And so we should love church visitors. Now, strangers can also be difficult because sometimes we don't know what their behavior means. So there are churches where the congregation often communicates their appreciation of the sermon by clapping. And by saying, my, Kimberly and I, when we were at CHBC, there was an older lady from the South, and Mark started preaching, and she went, my. And I want you to know, I think she frightened the entire congregation, except for those who actually knew what she was saying, because it was new for us. There are churches where people actually say hallelujah loudly during the sermons. Now, all of this would seem a little weird at Andover because you folks are the quietest people I have ever preached to. But there are different ways for people to express their appreciation for God. And we want to, when people come into our church, it can be a little bit intimidating if they communicate their appreciation for the sermon differently than we do. But if someone says hallelujah at an appropriate moment during the congregation or during the sermon, let's not all turn and stare at him or her. But rather, we could say amen, because they're right. It was a good thing. There are people who while they're singing, like to lift their hands in praise. And these are all good things. Part of hospitality includes letting other people worship God corporately in ways that are not sinful or disturbing to others, but help them feel connected to God. Now, by the way, hospitality is a two-way street, particularly among Christians. When we're visiting other churches, we don't want to make them feel weird by the way that we worship, And we want to do our best to make sure that they feel comfortable here. So if we see someone raising their hands to sing and they look confused because there's no one else doing it, maybe what we could do is we could put up our hands next to them. So if we have a church visitor and, you know, their hands are up and they're singing and they look around and are confused, you know, you can put a hand up. It wouldn't hurt any of us. I might try it someday up front just to help the congregation. It says, lift holy hands in prayer. We can do that. Now, please remember when you're visiting other churches that we have a responsibility to be easy to love. Those of us who believe most strongly in the doctrines of grace should be the most gracious. And part of being gracious means that we purposely try to be easy for other people to love. Now, I want you to know that there have been people who have come into my office and talked to me about visiting our church, and they wanted to cause a commotion. So we had a guy who came to our church, and he wanted to prophesy during our church service. And I explained to him that what my responsibilities were as a pastor, what the Apostle Paul's rules were, and that we would actually enforce the Apostle Paul's rules at our church. We don't allow people to give prophecies without first testing the spirit of prophecy. Now, they decided not to, or that person decided not to attend the church. I want you to know that the deacons and elders have plans worked out, so you don't have to worry too much about church visitors. You can just love on them. But, you know, we have plans if things get too crazy. I was leading a Bible study once, and I had a girl who started to try speaking in tongues. I asked her whether or not there was anyone, I asked the congregation if there was anyone there to translate. They said no, and I told her that she needed to be quiet because there was no one to translate. We don't have to be afraid. The elders and the deacons have thought through these things. There may be someone who comes into the church service and tries to cause a disturbance, but we'll take care of it. It'll be okay. Now, another reason that strangers can be hard to love is that what people perceive as loving can be different. I want you to know that when I go to a church and a pastor stands up and says, if you have not repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell, I would be like, praise God, what a wonderful, I mean, this guy believes the gospel, he loves me, he's trying to convict me of my sins, this is wonderful. That might not be the case for everyone who visits our church. And because of that, because different people perceive what is loving in different ways, it can be intimidating. And we want to be winsome and careful about what we want to say, but we also want to be particularly clear about these things. We want to make sure that at Andover Baptist Church, the main stumbling block is Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross. So we want to be clear and winsome, but we want to make sure that the main stumbling block at our church is the gospel. Now, it's the same with other lesser issues, like things like Bible translations and styles of music and Calvinism and Arminianism and things like that. We want to speak the truth in love, but we also want to do our best to limit the offense to Christ and his word. In other words, if we offend people, let's offend them because of Jesus and not something that's just a preference issue with us. Let's make sure that the tip of the spear is, I love Jesus and I hope you do too. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people came to Andover and they didn't like it because we preached the gospel? That would be great. Now, part of the way that we do this is that we want to be really careful about not mocking positions that we disagree with, whether or not those are positions outside of the church or positions inside the church. We don't want to make fun of people who disagree with us or assume that we understand the motives that lead people to their various positions. We want to make sure that everyone feels comfortable here. And part of the way that we do that is by focusing on Christ and the work that Christ has done. So when you see a visitor in the church, you want to smile, you want to make eye contact, you want to introduce yourself. You want to try to point out people who have similar backgrounds in the church. You want to make sure that during particularly the Sunday morning service that they have a bulletin. Help them to, if you're sitting next to them, to sort out the red Bible, green and black hymnal code, and that things are on the screen. Help them with the service. If they have small children, show them to the nursery, but don't pressure them into the nursery. because there are some families that think it's really important to have all of their children in the service. Be open-minded and careful about that. If you don't know where the Sunday school class is and they're looking for the Sunday school class, find somebody that does and get them there. If you want to engage with theological conversations with church visitors, keep the focus on Jesus and how great he is and the work that he did on the cross and the gospel. I've found questions like, is our church service similar to what you're used to? How did you come to know Jesus Christ? These sorts of questions are non-offensive, and they can lead to deeper conversations without necessarily being threatening. So if we have, let's say, someone who grew up in a Buddhist household has decided they want to attend church the first time, and you ask them, how was our church service? And they said, well, you didn't burn any incense and we didn't bow down to Buddha. You know, you've suddenly have entree into a whole bunch of things that you can talk to them about. So ask questions that are non-threatening, but questions that will allow you to come to the gospel. When you're talking to church visitors, be very careful about in-house vocabulary. As a Baptist church, we are particularly unique in that we don't have a specific end times issue, and we're Reformed. But this also means then that we have an in-house vocabulary, and that in-house vocabulary might be lacked by other people who come to visit us. So be thoughtful about those sorts of things. And the reason that we want to do this, we're not trying to suppress who we are. We just want to make sure that people actually know who we are, and that we're using words that they understand. I had one poor visitor. He asked me. He and I went out to lunch, and he goes, "Are you all IFB?" And he said it like one word, IFB. And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean." And he said, "Are you Independent Fundamental Baptist?" And he said it as one word, and I had never heard Independent Fundamental Baptist as one word. And I had to ask him to slow down, and he finally said, "Are you all Independent Fundamental Baptist?" And I'm like, "Maybe. What do you mean by that?" And it turns out, if you don't know what IFB is or Independent Fundamental Baptist, you're not. that's sort of how that all washed out. But he had sort of an in-house vocabulary that I just wasn't familiar with. And I mean, he even had an in-house way of saying things. And we want to avoid that. Again, not because we're trying to hide who we are as Andover, but so that we can make sure that we're communicating clearly with people and speak to them. Now, as a church, we function as a single group of people at Andover Baptist Church, and I want you to know that I have never had anyone complain to me that we are an unfriendly church when we have people who are visiting as strangers. I've never had anyone tell me that we're unfriendly. I have had people complain that they were mobbed, but I told them that they needed to get over it politely, and that's good. That's the way that we want to be. Now, we also need to notice that we tend to group up in the church with people who are here who are easiest for us to speak to. Now, and that's fine. It's much easier for me to talk to Jamie Martin about whatever it is that he's reading than to try to negotiate a conversation with George Brooks about baseball, because I don't know anything about baseball, and he always seems disappointed that I don't know what I'm talking about. The issue, by the way, is not that I don't love George. It's just that we have different shared loves. And so we want to make sure that we're talking to people who are different than us. The younger people want to make sure that they're talking to George and May Brooks, and they're happy to talk about Andover Baptist Church, about their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. They are not particularly interested in talking to me about the last theology book I read. And that's okay. But if we're going to be hospitable, we not only need to be hospitable with people who are coming into the church, but we want to make sure that we're doing the same for those who are in the church. So part of our responsibility as church members is to be hospitable to other church members. One of the reasons that I stand at the door after the Sunday morning service is so that everybody has an opportunity to talk to me. And that the reason that I'm there is not merely to talk to church visitors, but it's also to make sure that if you don't want to talk to me, you really can avoid me, but if you want to talk to me, I'm there at the door. And I do that on purpose. I do that on purpose because I know that some of you are different than me and you have different interests and different groups, and it's okay. But I'm trying very hard to make myself available. You want to do the same thing. You want to try to make yourself available. You can come stand next to me at the door if you want. It'd be weird, but I'd be glad to have you. But you want to make sure that you're trying to talk to everybody in the church. We want to do that so that we can speak to each other and to speak into each other's lives. And it really shouldn't, we shouldn't go more than a month without having spoken to everyone in the church. And by the way, I'm including the kids there. You want to make sure that you're trying to talk to everyone. You want to make sure to love people who are different ages than us. You want to try to know all of the children in the church by their names and say hi to them. We want to make sure that if you're married, that you're praying for the single folks, and the single folks are praying for the married folks. So the single women need to make sure that they're talking to the middle-aged and married folks, and the single guys need to make sure that they're talking to little kids. The Rockbridge teachers need to be talking to the Bob Jones grads. The employed mathematicians need to be talking to stay-at-home moms. So we have one unemployed mathematician who is a stay-at-home mom, and so she's her own subgroup. We want everybody to be trying to speak to each other and to love everybody. Now, it also means trying to make sure that everybody feels loved. The shy people and the introverted people must purposely become braver and extroverted. When I was at Capitol Hill Baptist Church, I was trying to figure out how to love people, and I got myself assigned to the book stall. It was great. People would come and ask me questions about theology books. I was in my comfort zone. And then people would come and talk to me. So try to find ways to leverage yourself out of your discomfort zone and into a way that you can feel comfortable and talk to other people and to love them and to be able to speak into their lives. Now, that's why we've been talking about hospitality as its focus on what's occurring in our church building. Yet hospitality also includes loving on strangers in your home and outside the church. So we want to be inviting each other and comparative strangers to our home and to eat with others and to care for each other by allowing folks to stay overnight when it's wise. Now, obviously, our marital status and propriety will decide how some of these things work, but we should be doing our best to host visitors at our church to meals and to wisely having people to stay overnight. And Kimberly and I have been incredibly blessed to be able to host people like David Wilson and his family when they visited our church. I know the Brooks have often been able to host Roy and other people. And I know that many of others of you have been able to do the same thing. When I ask people, you know, to host a missionary, I purposely try to link them up with a family that they can interact well with. So when the Webbers came, I had them stay with the Schicklers so that the Schickler kids could practice their Portuguese. And you know, you want to try to combine things together to serve other people and to make them to make them comfortable. Now, it's especially important that married families host and love on single folks. Both the regular visitors in the church and church members, by having them visit your home and participating in your home life. Now, a word of admonition to the men in the congregation about having folks stay at your house. And I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 18, verses 6 to 8. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. And then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Now, I want you to notice what Abraham did when the angel visited, what we notice is that Abraham did not go to the living room tent and sit with the guys and chat while the women did all the work. Now, he and Sarah cooperated together. So Abraham is not only managing Sarah's work, but he's also actively participating in the preparation. He's running about the camp, working with Sarah and the young men, and he's serving food and organizing things. So men, if you're married, your wife is not in charge of the hospitality of your home. You are. And not only that, your job is not to sit in the living room and entertain the men folk when men from church come over. Rather, your job is to do all sorts of things to help your wife serve people in the church. So men, we need to be ready to help our wives, and part of our responsibility in hospitality includes helping our wives prepare the house and the food and serving the food and even cleaning up afterwards, though I have to admit, it doesn't say that Abraham cleaned up afterwards. But I'm going to stretch. I'm going to stretch and just assume that it's there in the text. And if it's not in the text, that it's included in loving your neighbor as yourself. So we need to be helping our wives in hospitality. Now, single folks in the congregation, you have a unique responsibility in showing hospitality outside of the church. The married folks in the congregation always have group activities because we always travel in a group. We have our spouse with us. But you need to be practicing hospitality. You're going to have to be a little bit more thoughtful and careful in different ways. But you also have those responsibilities. So even so, you want to think through hosting group meals in your home for church visitors and church members, but also making sure that the singles groups in our church have porous borders in the sense of making sure that there's an easy flow of conversation and concern being expressed for people who are not single. Children in the church, you have a responsibility to connect with the kids who come to our church in a way that we can't. You need to make sure that they are able to participate in your games and that you're friendly and that you're kind to them. And that you show them what the gospel looks like as we're living it. So this is not merely a sermon to just the adults or just the married people. This is a sermon to the whole church. Now, it's the same with married folks and the folks who are married and have kids and so forth. We want to make sure that all of us are showing hospitality. Hospitality requires that there be an easy give and take between all of us. Let me close with Peter's words on this subject in 1 Peter 4:8 and 9. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Did you notice how Peter connected two ideas together? One of the ideas is that we can give hospitality, but we can be grumpy about it. And the other is that love covers a multitude of sins. So here's the deal. Every person at Andover Baptist Church is a sinner. And that means that every person here has stroked somebody in the church the wrong way. Sometimes because of personality issues, sometimes because of sin, and sometimes because of both. Now, the way that we show hospitality to one another without grumbling is by keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Let's love each other by loving church visitors and loving the people at Andover who might be a bit hard for us to love. Again, sometimes because of personality issues, but sometimes because of sin, since love covers a multitude of sins. Being hospitable without complaining means that we have to purposely make ourselves easy to love, and that we also simultaneously have to love people who are hard for us to love. And the reason that we do this is because Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners like us, and because we were all once aliens from the covenant, and because we might get to entertain angels. It's supposed to be a happy and easy thing. But to pull it off, we're going to have to love each other, despite the fact that each and every one of us is a sinner here. And each and every one of us can be mean to each other, either intentionally or unintentionally. And instead of doing that, what we're going to do is that we're going to remember that love covers a multitude of sins, and we're not going to be grumpy about hospitality even when it's hard. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you are hospitable to strangers, and that the way that you have done that is by making sure that we aren't strangers, by sending your Son to us to save us. Lord, we pray that we will be a hospitable church. We pray, Lord, that we will love each other, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.